Welcome to the Wisdom for Business and Life podcast. This is your host, Levi Brackman. This is the second episode of the second season of this podcast. And this podcast tries to share wisdom and ideas that can help our listeners and helps me in business and in life. In this episode, I want to talk about something that I've studied recently, which I think has tremendous wisdom in it. But before I get into that, I want to talk about why I'm studying this and what is the concept of studying and regular study and reading and how that can also help in business life. So in a sense, what I'm going to talk about today is a little bit of a hybrid between the concept of studying and the importance of it and how I study in my life, and as well as what I've studied in this particular case and how that could be helpful. So back earlier in the summer, I started studying something called Dafyomi. And what Dafyomi is that once a day, one studies one page of the Talmud. Every day, 365 days a year, one studies one page of the Talmud. And for those who don't know what the Talmud is the magnum opus, if you like, the largest and most important and most prominent set of books of Jewish law. Now, Jewish law comes from the Torah, comes from the Bible. And I'm not going to get into the theology behind it and the veracity of it and what different people believe about the Talmud. But suffice it to say that this is a series of books which have within them discussions of from more than 2,000 years ago, which were held by scholars of Jewish law. And it's written in Aramaic and in Hebrew. And the style of the book is one of discussion and debate where different people's views or rabbis' views are brought to bear, and then questions are asked about those views, and then proofs to and against those views are brought, and then some kind of a continued discussion, sometimes a story, and then some kind of conclusion about the subject at hand is discussed. So that's really what the Talmud is. And it's a series of books talking about everything from marriage to divorce to rules and laws about business. As a matter of fact, almost every aspect of human life is covered in these discussions. And the reason why I find it really interesting and I enjoy studying it is twofold. First of all, as a person brought up studying this, I'm good at it. I know how to study it and I find it really interesting as well. But also, these were some of the smartest people, in my view, to ever have lived. And those people, their conversations and their thoughts and ideas are held in these books, and therefore it behooves us to read them and understand them. But in general, I think it's important for people in life to have something which you study regularly. So in my case, I am a voracious reader. I just finished Barack Obama's autobiography, The Promised Land. I read Bibi Netanyahu's biography recently. I read the January 6th report. And, you know, I read probably, depending on the length of the book, probably a book a week. But I also study a page of the Talmud every single day. And one of the reasons why I have such a focus on reading and studying is because it adds so much to my life. So I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is usually study a page of the Talmud. That starts my day. It gets me thinking. It gets my brain working. It kind of puts a beginning to my day, which is doing something which is not business. It is sometimes has a spiritual component to it, but that's not the main reason. It's not business, it's intellectual, it's interesting, and it gets my brain going. It starts my day. So having that in my day where I can study something every single day, and then look, you know, we're finishing one of the tractates, one of the books in the next couple of weeks, then we'll start a new one. And it also is a sense of accomplishment of studying something, beginning a series of books to study. And then it's not an easy study, I may add. Some of these things are relatively complicated, but in the end it's a good beginning to the day, and also the idea of being able to accomplish something which isn't just creating business or money, etc. It's accomplishing something for oneself and also intellectually. So that is really, really valuable. And I've been a believer for a very long time in the idea of having a diversification, or to diversify one's places where one gets one's sense of purpose. And business is one area where you can get a sense of purpose. Family is another area. But sense of purpose also comes from intellectual achievements and pursuits as well. And having something which one studies regularly and that one is getting through a particular subject matter is very valuable to have in one's life. So that's why I study every single day. Now, the fact that this is part of my heritage, part of the Jewish heritage, part of the Torah, etc., is a really good cherry on the top, because I am studying really the thoughts and ideas of Jewish people who, and some of these are the smartest Jews who ever lived, put these thoughts down on pen to paper, and they were compiled and put together in a book or series of books called the Talmud, and therefore I think it behooves us to study them and get to know it. So I am a big believer in people finding something to study and then studying that each day on a daily basis, and then trying to achieve some significant knowledge in a particular area, so that after a while one can look back and say, I've gained this knowledge, I've concluded this subject. Maybe you'll come back to it at a future point. But starting one's day with studying is very, very powerful. It will really have a massively positive impact for the rest of your day. So now I want to talk about what is it that I studied and why it is so powerful and unbelievably helpful in one's life, and the depth of the wisdom that exists here. So this is found in the Talmud in Tractate Nedarim, page 62a. And it says as follows. A person should not say, I will read, so they will call me a sage. I will study, that they shall call me a teacher. And that I'll review my studies, so that I'll be an elder and sit in the academy. But rather, what should one do? Rather, one should learn out of love, and then honor and splendor will eventually come. This idea is incredibly powerful. You know, we are humans in the end of the day, and humans need in some way to be acknowledged. Whatever we do, we want to feel that it has purpose and that it has had some impact in the world around us. Most people, however, make a mistake in thinking that the impact, and they know that it'll make an impact, by the way others treat them immediately. So they seek to do something in order to get glory and respectability from others. And therefore, they seek out the things that they think other people will respect them for. And they do those things. So it ends up being that they don't do things in order for the sake of the thing itself, but they rather do it in order to elicit that praise and that respect from other people. And this is kind of self-defeating in and of itself. Because in the end, that respect never comes, because it's very difficult to be consistent on something that your heart's not fully into it for the real and the right reasons. So you end up not having achieved the thing itself on the one hand, and at the same time, you might end up with not getting any respect. So the wisdom here is telling you that you should study out of the love of this, what you're studying itself, and then the glory will come, the recognition, the respectability will come afterwards as an automatic result of the fact that you spent the time studying and you became a scholar. But you can't do it in order to that people should call you a scholar, that you should all of a sudden get a greater position in the community and amongst your peers or amongst your friends. You should do it for the love of the thing itself, and then the glory will come out as a result of that automatically without you having to try. The concept of it is that if you run after respectability, respectability will never come. But if you run after the thing itself, then respectability comes. Now, this means to say, it's interesting because it's not saying trying to gain respect is a bad thing. It's not. Trying to gain respectability is fine. But if you're running after respectability from others, for this, and that's why you're doing the thing itself, respect won't come. But if you do find the thing that you love to do and you follow that, then that will carry you through actual achievements, and then respectability comes after that. There's another part of this which the Talmud says just a few lines later. It says that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Tzadok, says, do things for the sake of the things themselves, and speak words for their own sake, and do not make them a crown with which to become glorified, nor make them as a pickaxe from which to break the ground. In other words, some people will do things for an ulterior motive. They have the means and the ends, and what they're looking for is the ultimate end result that comes from that means. So a lot of people will do business, for example, in order to make money. They don't really care about the business itself. They care about making the money. A lot of people will help other people because they want to be known as the person who helps others, or they want other people to help them back. Again, they're not doing it for the sake of the thing itself. Some people will study in order that people should call them a scholar. Again, they're not doing it for the sake of the thing itself. They are using it for a purpose, just like they would use a pickaxe for a purpose, or they would want to make a crown for themselves that they should be glorified. And what it's saying here is, don't do that. Do the things for the sake of the things themselves. Now, all of this is easier said than done. How do I find something to do which I want to do for the sake of the things itself? Everyone understands money. Everyone understands glory and respectability. Everyone understands greater physical and material pleasures and possessions. Bigger house, nicer car, more beautiful and expensive vacations, etc. Everyone gets that. But what about the pleasure and enjoyment in doing the thing itself? That people don't get. How can I know? How can I find that thing which I know I'm going to really enjoy and do that for its own sake? Herein is the wisdom. That is the hard part. How do you find that thing which you know you're going to love and which you're going to really enjoy? Once you find that, then all the rest kind of falls into place. This is the wisdom here. The wisdom is teaching you that if you're able to find that thing which gives you inner peace, that thing which you can do for the sake of the love of the thing itself, that will sustain you. You will continue doing that day after day, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. No matter how many times you get knocked down, you're going to stand back up because you love doing that thing. Do it for the sake of the thing that you love, and then the glory will come. And I would say the glory doesn't just mean glory in terms of respectability of other people, but also glory in terms of material money and wealth. As a matter of fact, it's really interesting. In the Talmud, you find that some of these really great scholars were also incredibly wealthy. The concept here is that wealth comes as a result of doing that which you love. But how do you find that which you love? And I'll share here, because I spent 10 years of my life doing a PhD, but not just a PhD. I ran a nonprofit called Youth Directions, where we helped young people try and figure out, what is that thing? What is that spark? What is that purpose? What is that passion? What is the thing that will sustain them through the hard times, through the difficult times, through the challenges, to enable them to actually achieve true success? And came up with a methodology of how people can actually figure that thing out. And I'll share a little bit of it now, because really, that's what it's talking about here. How can you find that thing which you're going to be able to do for the sake of the thing itself? Because only then does true glory come. And the answer is that everyone has within them, inherently, a passion, a drive, a fire to do something. Because ultimately, we all realize that life itself is something which we love. We love to live. There are very few people, there are unfortunately some people who are clinically unwell, but most people, they love life itself. They want to live. How do we know? Try and kill them. And they'll fight. They'll fight to stay alive. People have a love for life. And within that love for life is a way in which they can express themselves in a way which is uniquely them. That's what the life is. Life isn't just living. It really struck me listening to Barack Obama's book, in which he says that he's describing his life as the presidency. And he said that mostly whenever depression came about from when he felt that he wasn't achieving anything and when he was just wasting his time. And that never happened while he was the president, because while he was the president, his life was always full with something which was meaningful and doing something. When we feel that life, our life is kind of being extinguished in many ways, when we're not productive, when we're not doing anything, when we feel that we're wasting our time, that's when we start to feel depressed. What does it mean to be depressed? Well, that means that we somehow are losing that desire to live. And when we're not productive, we won't feel we're achieving something. That's when we start to feel depressed. We want to live. We want to live our life to its fullest. We want to self-actualize. We want to be able to do things for the love of the thing itself. But how do we find that thing? You have to go back to the core of what it means to be alive. What it means to be alive is to be expressing one's true fullest sense of oneself in the universe in the way in that it makes an impact. Because I am unique, you are unique, every one of us is unique. None of us are the same, so we all have something unique in which to contribute. And knowing that, and knowing that we can then express that in the world is very, very powerful. And that's what makes us happy. That's what makes us do the thing for the love of the thing itself. But how do you find that? Again, I go back. And the answer is that we all have it somehow. We have to go back to when we were kids and try and figure out what were the things that we loved to do on our own. What were the things that gave us joy and energy when we were kids? What were the things that we did when we did them and we were going to do them that week? We felt really excited about. As we go through life, we can get jaded. Our dreams get trampled upon. We feel that we can't achieve things. But when you look at little kids, they truly have a passion for life. They get really excited about things. They are a lot less jaded. They know the things that are going to excite them. They know the things that give them joy and energy. So we have to think back, what were those things? Now, of course, the manifestation of those things today as adults are going to be different than they were as kids. But the core of what it was is going to be the same, because we fundamentally don't change at our core of who we are. So we think back at the times in our life where we got joy and energy, when we were really excited, the things that gave us real pleasure. What were they? And then peel back the onion to figure out what were the aspects of those things that we really loved. And then take those aspects, those core things, and try and figure out how they can manifest today as adults. And this is the core to finding the thing that you can do for the sake of the thing itself, rather than for any kind of outcome. We spend our life seeking outcomes, seeking things which we can say we achieved, things that we can point at, things that we can, external things which we seek, which aren't the thing itself which we really love. That's really backwards. We should be seeking the thing which we internally love to do. Follow that, do that, and then the glory will come. That's the wisdom inherent in this. And that is what the Talmud is really saying here. It's really, really powerful wisdom. Wisdom which we should all take to heart. Because sometimes the glory which comes is not going to be tremendous wealth. It's not going to be tremendous respectability. But you will know you spent a life doing the things that you love doing, which gave you joy and energy, which inspired you, which excited you every single day. And that is something which very few people can say they really have. So that's the wisdom I have to share for you today. Try and figure out what is the thing that you can do for the sake of the thing itself, for the sake of the love of the thing, and pursue that. All the rest will happen to the degree that it needs to happen for you in your life. Thank you so much for joining. Again, the second episode of the second season of the Wisdom for Business and Life podcast. This has been your host, Levi Brackman. If you like this podcast, share it with others. Give a like on wherever you listen to podcasts or write a review. Thank you so much. And until next week, have a wonderful rest of the day and week.